Eamon Gilmore is the Taoiseach in the Republic of Ireland. He has been the TD for Dunleary since 1989. He served as a Minister for State in the 1990s, and he led the Labour Party to its best ever election result in 2011. As well as being Taoiseach, he also serves as Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade. So please provide a warm welcome to Eamon Gilmore, TD.
Thank you very much for that warm introduction. Minister David Ford, Northern Ireland Minister for Justice and leader of the Alliance Party, Minister Stephen Farry, Minister for Employment and Learning, Deputy Leader Naomi Long, MP, Shadow Secretary of State Ivan Lewis, members of the Assembly, councillors, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you, first of all, for your kind invitation to address this conference today. And I want to begin by paying tribute to David Ford, who has put both the Alliance Party and the Department of Justice at the forefront of the debate about change for the better. I want to praise your integrity, David, your tenacity, and your commitment to justice for all. I salute you for your leadership, which shows how devolution of policing and justice can and is being made to work progressively for the benefit of people, peace and policing in every quarter. And in doing so, you have defied those doubters and naysayers to prove that real change for the better is possible and will continue. And I want to join you, David, in your words of praise for Naomi Long, MP. Naomi is a fearless Democrat who is firm in her belief in positive change. We stand with you, with your party colleagues, and with all public representatives who have faced threats on the grounds of race, political beliefs, and gender. And I would say to you all, we can find a better way if we stick to the vision and the values of the Good Friday Agreement. I believe that this is what people all over Ireland are looking for. We want clarity. We want optimism. We want a sense of purpose and respect. We want growth and peace, and we want to live together and to step forward together. Today's conference takes place at the end of a week which marks the third anniversary of the Syrian uprising, a conflict which has led to the appalling suffering by so many. This week too, we have seen a deepening political crisis in Ukraine. These are issues that are critical for all of us, and the Irish government will continue to work with our European Union colleagues and with the international community to find solutions in the period ahead. This is, of course, also the week in which Irish people and friends of Ireland around the globe have marked St. Patrick's Day. As part of the Irish government's Promote Ireland campaign of international activity, 27 ministers took part in over 100 business events and 80 high-level political meetings in 35 cities around the world over the St. Patrick's Day period. And when my government colleagues and I attend these St. Patrick's Day events around the world, we encounter, time and again, a remarkable level of enduring support and admiration for the Northern Ireland peace process. This year, we witnessed this enormous and informed goodwill again, most particularly in the United States. And the clear message which my colleagues and I received was that we should not underestimate the importance of the peace process on this island to those who are contending with the enormous crises of our times. It remains, for all the sometimes frustratingly dulling effects of sectarianism, a beacon of light for many, and rightly so. The agreements which underpin the peace process were hard won and are harder still to implement. The past year has seen some very testing times for Northern Ireland, with legacy issues from the Troubles, the ongoing threat from dissidents, and persistent street unrest consuming great political effort and frustrating those who would wish to see faster progress. But we must all stay the course. Many difficult decisions were taken throughout the period of the peace process, both before the Good Friday Agreement in 1998 and since. The Western Park Agreement, like other agreements, was reached in the conviction that all its constituent elements were in the wider interests of the peace process. The decisions taken then were taken collectively to support the foundations for peace. These steps were not taken lightly. These were and are sensitive issues, the purpose of which was to see an end to the armed conflict and to create the conditions for reconciliation. We can never forget the terrible events that occurred during the Troubles, and we must pay heed to the ongoing suffering of surviving victims of the Troubles in Ireland and in Britain. Nevertheless, we cannot allow the past to undermine the peace and stability of the present and the prospect of a better future for generations to come. This is the most immediate and pressing challenge for the political leadership in Northern Ireland, and it is one in which the British and Irish governments also bear responsibilities. And that is why the Northern Ireland executive parties deserve the full support of both governments as they work now towards agreement on a comprehensive framework to deal with the past, flags and identity issues and parades. Agreement on these divisive issues is the necessary step not yet taken, but the step forward now required, the step forward rightly identified by your conference theme today. Getting the frameworks for peace and reconciliation right and fully functioning is important for stability and security. It is vital also so that greater priority can be given to setting the right conditions for economic growth and job creation, especially for young people, and we all have a common interest in that. The Irish government has no closer relationship than with the Northern Ireland Executive. And there are great opportunities currently to deepen our cooperation in a practical direction to support job creation and economic growth north and south. We each face financial and economic challenges, and improved cooperation bilaterally and within the EU can bring us real results. Relations between Ireland and Britain are strong and close. Next month, President Higgins will make a state visit to the UK at the invitation of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, whose own successful visit to Ireland in 2011 marked an important moment of reconciliation. Both governments are conscious that we must keep deepening this reconciliation as we mark the centenary of events that once divided us deeply. The British-Irish bilateral relationship has been both a catalyst for positive change in Northern Ireland, and it has benefited from that change. Cooperation in support of reconciliation, prosperity, and a shared perspective in Northern Ireland remain at the heart of the British-Irish relationship. We want to ensure that the strengthening of the British-Irish bilateral relationship benefits and is reflected fully in Northern Ireland. Through reciprocal, respectful visits, we can ensure that whether you are British or Irish, that your identity, heritage, and political aspirations are respected and valued, whether you live in London, Larne or Limerick. The agreements are based on that fundamental respect for differing identities, traditions, and political aspirations. This week, Anna Lowe expressed her view as to where the future best interests of Northern Ireland lie. She is perfectly entitled to do so, and it is disheartening that her comments provoked from some a reaction which suggests that she was not entitled to make them. As a first principle, we must have absolute respect for those who have a different view and respect their right to express that view free from intimidation or recrimination. Our views should always be guided by the principle of consent. Without honest and open discussion, neither society nor politics can progress. The Alliance Party should be applauded for allowing and encouraging that discussion. But I refuse to be disheartened. I know how far the British and Irish governments have travelled in the short space of time from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth's visit to Ireland 3 years ago to the eve of President Higgins' state visit next month. I know how committed President Obama and Vice President Biden are to supporting progress here. And I know that the discussion on how we define our identity, how we respect and accommodate the rights of others, and how we deal with our divisive past has been brought forward here too in recent months, initially by Richard Haass and Megan O'Sullivan, and since January by David Ford and the other party leaders. There is no going back. 3 weeks ago, Bill Clinton spoke to an audience at the Guildhall Square in Derry and delivered a simple message to all of us: finish the job. I was reminded of another American president who delivered a similar message almost 150 years ago. President Abraham Lincoln knew intuitively that a society emerging from conflict faced a new set of challenges to its cohesion and prosperity that were as serious as those it had just surmounted. The words that he chose to include in his second inaugural speech were specific to his beliefs, his time, and his place, but are strikingly appropriate to the challenge we now face. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, and to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves. Thank you very much.